Where were we today, honey?
Butler, Pennsylvania. That's where we were. Butler, Pennsylvania, 3.5 hours from here. We're at a Wings Precious, Bearing Precious Seed conference. Wings is an off branch of Bearing Precious Seed, and Wings, they fly the stuff, okay? Bearing Precious Seed puts it together. They get all the stuff, and then Wings puts it in the containers or whatever else, and they help ship it out. And so it was pretty interesting to hear about that ministry and be there with some new people. We met probably 6 or 7 new pastors, and probably 4 or 5 of them are going to have us in. We're already starting to get that on the schedule. We started that meeting with, predominantly November and December wide open. Now we're booking into January and such. And so, God, I'm not looking for meetings. We're just going there to hang out or whatever else. Somebody invites me and I go. And next thing you know, we have people coming up and saying, hey, I'd like you to come into our church and present. And so, I'm just leaving it in God's hands. In January, I said, Lord, I'm done making phone calls. I'm not a phone call type of guy. I made hundreds of them. I used to sit at a desk and make phone calls all day long. I said, Lord, I'm done with it. If you want to keep going, then you'll just have to get us meetings. And well, he's kept it going, and he's still keeping it going because I'm still not a phone call guy. I don't like being on the phone, making phone calls, calling across America, trying to get in people's churches and everything else going on. So just thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray as God opens doors, and continue to pray as there's many needs we need. God has been putting a burden on my heart. And the question is this, what more can we do? What more can we do for these men and women that are in jail and prison? What more can we do that for when they get out? I told the people this at the missions conference. This is a part of my message. I said, look, I can give somebody a fish and feed him for a day. Or I can teach him to fish and he can feed himself for the rest of his life. While men and women are in jail and prison, I can teach them spiritual things. But when they get out, if nobody's teaching them how to live that, it's no good. The thing is, getting them to a place where we can teach them. I have people that are going out and they have to go right back to halfway houses. They got to go back to the same neighborhoods they came out of. They're not ready for that.
Right.
And it's destroying them and it's killing them. I just got a message last week of another one who died. Another one who just left. Another one that I spent time with and grew the love and was teaching him about Jesus Christ. He got out and put a needle in his arm and he's dead. You think that bothers me? How about if one of you in here, somebody called the pastor and said, you know, that Bill, he's dead now. How do you think that pastor would feel about that? That's how I feel. And I'm asking you tonight to beg God to show me direction on how we can get something outside of what we're doing now. Because God put that burden on my heart. I was settled doing exactly what we were doing, but God has put an intensity in my heart. He's put a burden on my heart now. And I'm praying, and I have a few other men that are praying for men to be helpers. I need men to step up and be helpers. There are things that are going to come in the future that are it's going to cost them. It's going to cost their time. People will be willing to put themselves out there to help somebody else. You see, Jesus Christ says, if we follow him, we'll have to deny ourselves. And Baptists hate denying themselves. Baptists hate fasting.
Right.
When's the last time you fasted for this church? When's the last time you fasted for the ministries in this church? When's the last time we have fasted for our pastors who week after week get up here and have to bring a message that God will give them what they have? You see, Jesus Christ said prayer and fasting will give you a lot of answers to things, but yet we don't do it. Let me share with you here Numbers chapter 20. Go with me to Numbers chapter 20. Betty, we had a good meeting both at Brother Art Cole's. They took us on for support. It's right now all glory to God, and I mean all glory. Please, it has nothing to do with me. I cannot do what's going on at I don't know how to run a life. I don't know how to run a ministry. This is God's doing. I'm a street bum. I'm an ex-convict. God is the one who's bringing these things to pass. And man, it seems like every week or every 2 weeks, another church is taking us on for support. Churches we never thought, man, they'll never take us on for support. They looked at us like we had two dragons sitting on our back, and we're in their church, and they're calling us up and said, we'd like to support what you're doing. And so that's just a miracle in itself.
Amen.
Do you know that in April, make 7 years, Liberty Behind Bars will be in ministry?
Amen.
Do you know people didn't think we'd make it 6 months? You know why? Because they were looking at me.
Yeah.
They forgot who I serve. They forgot who my father is. It's not about me. Liberty Behind Bars is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him running this ministry, not me. I'm just a vessel he chose to open that door with.
Amen.
7 years. Can you imagine that, Pastor? 7 years. Whew. Look at Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. He said, Dale, you get awfully excited. Man, I got stuff to be excited about. I have a life. I have a ministry. We have things going on here with Jesus Christ. I'm worth something in the eyes of Jesus Christ. For the first time in my life, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm excited about that. I'm excited because nobody ever wanted me around. Some don't now, anyway, but that's okay. Do you know what it's like to have a life? Do you know what it's like to have peace that passes understanding? I do. Timothy, I do.
Yeah.
You know how long it takes me to fall asleep when I lay my head at that pillow at night? My wife can't believe how fast I fall asleep. Why? I used to take drugs and sleeping pills that make me go to sleep. Not today. I have a sweet sleep.
Amen.
Because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, and it says this. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. And this is what he said. He said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Because you have believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. To sanctify, we know, is somebody who consecrates, somebody who is set apart. You know what God just told them? Because you did not sanctify me in your heart in the eyes of the people. We go out there and live our life any old way we want and call ourselves a Christian, and people are watching. And you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to sanctify God in the sight of the people who are watching us. He says, because of unbelief, Moses and Aaron failed to consecrate or set God apart, to make him holy, to make him sacred in the eyes of Israel. I travel around today and I look at these people who call themselves independent Baptists, who call themselves saved and born again people, and they are not living holy. They are not sanctifying God in their life. You can tell when somebody's been with God. Let me ask you this. How many people have come to you this week knocking on your door want what you have because they see Christ in you? Why? Because we are failing to sanctify God in their eyes and in our hearts. Because everything else on this planet is more important to us than God. And those people who are watching, and it's not a wonder why we have empty pews. It's not a wonder why churches are closing the doors by the dozen. Why? Those men have forgotten how to take a stand. Those men have folded up their arms and they said, we're not standing anymore. And the people are paying a price for it. Because of unbelief, Moses and Aaron failed to consecrate or set God apart in the children's eyes. Because of this, the children of Israel no longer trusted in God. They become unthankful with his provisions and no longer look to God for help, but they turn to man. I see it over and over again, church after church after church. Because God is not sanctified in the eyes of the man who's running the church, they run to the man and forget about God.
Come on.
They implement everything on this entire planet except for the Bible.
And you know they're okay with that. Because they call what they have a success.
Just because it looks good does not mean it's successful in God's eyes. You know why? Because 90% of the people that are sitting in them church pews do not have a changed life.
Why? Because the man of God did not sanctify God in his heart and the eyes of the people. You know, people, we watch our pastor. We watch the people who are called to be preachers.
They may not be staring you down, but let me tell you something. They're watching your life. They're watching your posts. They're watching your text messages. They're watching everything about your life. And you know what they're looking to see? To see if they can see any God in you whatsoever. To see if they can see any of that Bible you say you read and that Bible that you say you study. They're looking to see if they can see that in your life. Because let me just tell you something. I don't care how much Bible you know. It's worthless if you can't live it. Go ahead and quote 1,000 verses to me. That's nonsense to me. Go live those verses.
Come on, that's right.
That's sanctifying God in the heart of the people. That's so they can see Jesus in you.
But we're failing to do that, friends. It's not happening today. We don't sanctify God in our hearts and lives. It just doesn't have an effect on us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll be down about 22, quarter two, and then we'll get prayer requests. But I want you to think about, because of our unbelief, because we don't believe that God can do certain things in our life, and people are watching. They watch our unbelief. Do you know who watches my unbelief the most? My two children.
Uh-oh.
You want to talk about wreaking havoc in your home? You go ahead and let your children watch you live in your unbelief.
Uh-oh.
It'll destroy them. They'll look at you like all you are is a hypocrite.
Uh-oh.
Not a wonder why. How many people, you know how many, Charity, do you know how many Baptist people come up to me every time I'm in a church? How many people are on 10, 15? Their children are dying. Their children are on drugs. Their children are in jails and prisons and mental hospitals and rehabs. And you know why? Because mom and dad, when they went home, did not sanctify God in their children's eyes.
Uh-oh.
And all they see is hypocrisy. That's a serious accusation. How are we going to answer to a holy God for that? Oh, I forgot. We don't even think about answering to God. Oh, we're saved now. We're okay. We're safe. Oh, no. We're not safe. You're right. You may not go to hell. But I'm telling you, when you get in front of the holiness of God and you have to answer for something that you did not do that He told you to do, how do you answer to a holy God for that, Pastor? What, since you're so big and you know everything, how would you answer to God that?
Come on.
Second Corinthians 6, 1 through 3 says this, we then as workers together with Him, we beseech you, look at when we don't sanctify God in our hearts, when we don't sanctify God in the eyes of the people, it doesn't just have an effect on us, it affects others. And that's what 2 Corinthians is going to say here. He says, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What is he saying there, receiving the grace of God in vain? It means God's grace no longer means anything to you. It's worthless.
Come on.
The moment you start forgetting about how you got saved, lost person, you have to understand it's God's grace you're sitting in this church tonight.
That's right.
And the moment that you start forgetting, you forget that, you are having vain grace. God's grace to you is worthless. It means nothing. He says, don't have that. For he saith, I have heard thee in times accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look at what it says here. And giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And I know, Dale, say, I don't have a ministry. If you're a member or you attend at the Black Creek Baptist Church, you are a ministry of the Black Creek Baptist Church. And how you live outside these walls affects what goes on inside these walls.
That's right.
There are people who will never step foot in this church because the things that happened, it affected the ministry.
Come on.
Your life is the same. You'll bring shame and offense to the ministry at the Black Creek Baptist Church. We're okay with that though. You know what that's going to... You need to sanctify God in your heart. You need to sanctify God in your life that you not bring an offense to the ministry at the Black Creek Baptist Church that God set up. That ought to mean something to some people.
Amen.
What about bringing an offense to the ministries that are sent out of the Black Creek Baptist Church? I know there's a lot of backbiting going on. I sit around at meetings and I hear them talking about this and talking about that. I said, my goodness. If that's going on in just about every church I go, I can't even imagine what's going on in my church.
Uh-oh.
You don't think I think people were talking behind my back about things? You know what God told me, Pastor? Don't worry about it.
That's right.
He'll take care of it.
Right. Don't worry about it.
Oh, 7 years. But I'm telling you right now, you're bringing offense to the ministry God started and the one He is keeping going. Why? Because you won't sanctify God in their hearts. In the eyes of the people. This is running rampant in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches, the public, the government. Why? Because of unbelief and sin. And man has not sanctified God in the eyes of the people in the community. Why aren't people flocking to here, you think, Stephen? Let me ask you, men. What are we doing to reach the community here? What? I'm not saying we have to go beat down doors. But let me just tell you something. How do people know you're a Christian when you're in the store? How do they know you're a Christian when you're in a restaurant? How do they know you're a Christian wherever they might see you? One man said this. He said, man, you know what? Somebody ought to start a ministry called the Walmart Ministry. There's a whole ministry just in Walmart alone. You can go ahead and start a ministry called the Walmart Ministry. And you can go in there and you can absolutely day and night have an open field, an open ministry to deal with those men and women that are in that store. But let me ask you this. When you're in there, what are they seeing? What are they hearing from you? What are they watching you do? I did something and it wasn't illegal. And it tore me up. Last night, so I got a mark on my face and almost broke my finger. I threw something in the trash can. Simply threw something in the trash can, and God said, did you ask to do that? I said, man, I can't get it back out now. I gotta go talk to these people. They knew I was there for a church. They knew that I was part of Liberty Behind Bars ministry. Now, what if they would have went in that garbage can and found that thing of mine that I didn't ask to put in there? You say, man, is that really a big deal? It sure was a God. He kept me up almost all night over.
Oh, brother.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. That's what my God does.
That's right.
I'm sorry He doesn't affect you in that way. But He affects me in that way because He's teaching me. And I had to go into that fountain. I wrote a note. I was thinking of all these things. How can I tell?
Word of honor.
You know who was watching me? You see that little girl right there? She was watching me. She was watching to see what Daddy was going to do about it. My wife walked up to the counter. I said, Amy. I said, nope, never mind. I said, ma'am, I have to tell you something that I've done. And I said, here's my information. If it's going to cost anything extra or anything, I said, I will pay for that. She said, you're fine. There's not even an issue with that. But you know what I was worried about? Leaving a bad testimony.
That's right.
I was worried about leaving a bad testimony for the church and Liberty Behind Bars ministry. Why? Because I want them to know that I was a Christian and that I respected them. I want God sanctified in my heart. I want God to be sanctified in the eyes of the people
even if it did not mean anything, even if it was not anything that I did illegal, I want them to see, hey man, this Christian man stood up, he stepped up, and he took blame for something that was not even wrong. But he wanted to make sure that it was okay. Oh, there's many times we do that in our lives and wouldn't even think about it on that note.
You may get a little twinge of conviction and you just blow it off because, you know what, it was the right thing. I didn't do anything illegal. I did nothing wrong. But in God's eyes, I did wrong. There are many things. I'm not going to get close, but look at it. Is hunting wrong? It's not wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now. I thought God was going to kill me over hunting.
I thought he was going to rip my life out from underneath me because I refused to put my finger on hunting. Because it was disturbing my life with him. And it was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. I got to bring deer meat home, and that became my excuse. Well, I get to bring deer meat home to my family.
And God said, Dale, you ain't going to get it there. I haven't shot a deer in 2 years. Why? Because God was showing me that hunting is more important than me. You see, God allowed me to get away with things first in my salvation. And then he started pointing things out that weren't bad. That he did not want in my life anymore. You go, oh man, that's crazy. That never happened to me. Sorry, you got a different God than me then. I'm sorry. I mean, just...
Hello. Yeah.
I have a God who changes my life for his purpose.
Amen.
It's not about my life anymore. We sing about the precious blood and the price, and then you treat it like it's nothing. Like he can't get that stuff out of your life if he wants to. Because you know what? That blood means nothing to you.
If it's the precious blood and it costs him everything, then he has the right to take anything out of your life he pleases. But let me just tell you this now. We don't have enough God in our hearts to want to do it.
Why? Because it costs us self-denial. If any man will come after me. If any man will come after me. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. You know what he says? Let him deny himself.
I don't see much denying of ourselves going on in Black Creek.
When's the last time we've denied ourselves for others? When's the last time we've given up something? You know, I say, well, you know, I donate money here, and you know, I do this here, and I do that there, and God goes, your bank account's still full. Well, Lord, you know, you're still doing fine. You're still eating. When have we denied ourselves for the good of somebody else? And I mean denied ourselves. I mean something that hurts, something that gets way down inside of us. Listen, you be praying for us because we're about to enter into a situation. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's going to be a whole lot of work and it's going to be a whole lot of trouble. But you know what God says? You'll do it.
Uh-huh.
I don't have an escape out of this. But I'll tell you one thing. It can be fearful. You know why, Tim? Because I'm used to living on that side. I'm used to living on that side. Now God expects me to live on this side.
Whoa.
Terrible things. Yeah, I know. You just think we mail out Bibles and, you know, go visit people once. You have no clue about Liberty Behind Bars ministry. You have no clue how we deal with the people that are on the outside.
Come on, brother.
You have no clue what we have to sacrifice, and we sacrifice. Don't you all jump in joy to go and drive 3.5 hours and sit there and listen? Or to go 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Could you imagine that? You just... put your recliner foot up. Ring, ring, ring. Hey. Most people slide it over. I'll answer that tomorrow. You know God doesn't allow me to do that. If somebody was to call me at midnight tonight, you know the Lord would not let me sleep. I'd have to go and get that phone. You know why? It's not about me.
Jesus Christ called me to a ministry to deny myself for the help of others. The problem is today Christians could care less about that person who's going to step off into eternity. Today people are closer to stepping off into eternity, into hell, and we're more worried about ourselves than we are somebody else's salvation. Why? Because we've not sanctified God in our hearts. In front of the eyes of the people. I had somebody call me. And they said, Dale, I call you because all everybody else does is beat me up. You can't beat them. You want to beat them up. I tried telling you. You can't do that. You have to say, you know, I love you. Let's get through this. We're going to do whatever it takes to get you through this.
Amen.
We're going to go wherever we have to go to make sure we get you through this again and get you out the other side. And it's a couple that God, I'm not going to say their name out loud, but it's a couple that God has kept in my life for years now. And you know who they are. You know. They're in deeper than they've ever been. But they have to see that they can't do it without Jesus. And the only way they can see it is to leave him to themselves. Until they come back. And then you have to be ready and hope to God that they're not dead. I believe somebody's about to go home and I'm probably going to lose him. Because he just thinks that he can go out there and help somebody. You've been in jail for a few weeks and you think you can really go out there and help somebody? Is that what that's what they really think in their head. He's probably going to end up dead. And you guys know him too. How does that settle in your heart? It tears me up to think that I might go preach somebody's funeral that I've loved and try to help and try to get them to Jesus. Listen, I'm going to close with this. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of your heart. That's not what it says. It says, With all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, it shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. You know what that means? That means we should be bringing church home with us.
Right.
We should diligently be teaching our children, our grandchildren, or whoever it is, diligently at home. Most people leave church and never think about it again. It's not what he said. He said, you be diligent and you teach that at home. Charity, be diligent in teaching your son at home. Don't let him just come here in the Bible. And when thou walkest, you know what that means? When you walkest, by the way, that means when you're out in public, you should be talking about the things of God.
Amen.
It's not hard to start a conversation up with somebody. You start that conversation up with somebody, the next thing you know, you can say, well, yeah, I attended Black Creek. Well, you might not want to tell me you attended Black Creek Baptist Church because they might not come. But you just tell them you're a Christian. Is there anything I can help you with? How about if I help you out to the car with your stuff? I'll help you out to your car. Because out in public, don't you think we should look like Christians? At least pretend? The problem is today, charity, because people won't sanctify God in their hearts. If it walks like the world, and it talks like the world, and it looks like the world, it's the world. It's the world. And that's what people who are Christians call themselves today. And not one person out there on that planet can ever tell they're anything different about them, ever. Not in their actions, not the way they walk, not the way they talk, not the way they carry themselves, not the way they dress, nothing. Because they fail to sanctify God in their hearts. And here it is. Look, I'm done here. Sitting at home with your family, when thou walkest in the public, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, that means in our private time. When you're with your wife, all alone, yup. Let me ask you, men, how many of you, with a raise of hands, show me, how many of you pray with your wife at night before you go to sleep? Oh,
Shame on the rest of you who don't. Shame on the rest of you who don't. That's what he's talking about. You're grabbing your wife's hand at night. You're praying with her. I don't care how angry you are. I don't care how bad things were during the day. What if she slips off into eternity? Or you do. And that's the last memory you have of each other. Grab your spouse's hands and pray with them before you go to sleep together. It takes you 5 minutes. Thank God for each other. Thank God for the life he's given you. Thank God for the children. Thank God for the home you have. Thank God for the marriage that he's given you. Thank him for anything. And just give her a kiss or give him a kiss and go to sleep. It'd be a whole lot better doing it that way. But you know why we don't? Because we're not sanctifying God in our hearts towards our spouses either. God's got a problem with that. With us not praying with our wives at night, you know what that gives us? A leeway into bitterness. I'm telling you right now, try to pray when you're mad or bitter at your wife or your husband. You'll take care of it before you pray. You know what that means? That means you'll go to bed and you'll wake up with more and more bitterness. God doesn't want that. You sanctify God in your heart. We are failing to sanctify God in our hearts, our homes, our work, and our churches. People are turning to man's logics and programs and philosophies. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." God says, look, I created you to follow me. I created you to love me. I've given you an instruction manual, and you keep trying to invent your own Christianity. You keep trying to invent your own religiousness. You keep trying to invent your own ways. He says, I've done it already. Sanctify God in your hearts. You know why most of us can't sanctify God in our hearts? There's not enough room in our hearts for him. Our jobs, our education, our whatever else is taking up way too much room in our hearts. There's not enough room for God. Therefore, you can't sanctify him in your heart. And if he's not sanctified in your heart, for sure he won't be sanctified in your life. God forbid. This is how we keep living our Christian life. With an unsanctified heart towards the thing. Hey, he gave all so you could have all. Doesn't he deserve all? He's telling you to sanctify him in your heart. Sanctify him in your life. You know why? Because it may be the hope. Let me just say this. Men and women, sanctify God in your heart for the Noahs in this church, for the Terrence, for the Calebs.
Come on.
Sanctify God in your heart. You know why? Who are they going to look up to? The older people are going to be gone one day. Who are they going to look up to? And what are they going to see in you? If we don't sanctify God in our hearts now, what are they going to see? What is the generation coming up behind us going to see here in the Black Creek Baptist Church? My friends, think about that. Done.